Hi, family, and welcome to Jordan's Journey Podcast, your number one resource to help you grow in life and in faith. I'm your host, Jordan Thorpe, where we talk all things your journey to becoming who God is calling you to be. So if you're ready to learn and grow along your journey, stay tuned. Hi, family, and welcome back to another episode of Jordan's Journey Podcast, where we are talking with real people who have real lives with real testimonies. And today we have a special guest with us. Her name is Christy Bellamy. Welcome, Christy. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jordan. Thank you so much for having me here. I'm honored to be on your platform, and just honored by all of the stories that I've heard from your previous guests. And I'm just like, I'm honored to be in good company. So thank you for having me.
You're certainly welcome. You're certainly welcome. And so, Christy, introduce yourself. Let us know who you are, what you do, where you're from. Well,
okay, yes, ma'am. Well, once again, my name is Christy Bellamy, and I live in the state of Florida. And I work in the past 20 years, going on, just past 21 years, as a human resource professional. At the age of 37, I became a young widow, and I believe that during that time, a couple of years after my calling from God or my purpose from God changed to where, well, you know, it is what it is. He called me, and, you know, that was very hard for me growing up in the church all of my life, but growing up religiously and being told that, based on denomination, that women were in certain roles. And although we had the teaching of everybody is, as a child of God, our job is to evangelize, but having more of the teaching on the limitations of what women can do, and knowing, you know, as his sheep know his voice, knowing what the Lord was saying, and is that in the church, out of the church, is that in the pulpit, that's out of the pulpit, and then some of those things that he was calling me to talk about that were not necessarily conventional, especially culturally, and being from a small country town. So I not only survived being a widow, but I survived some church hurt, some having to leave some church, and, you know, just in transition of, okay, Lord, I'm walking with you, because even sometimes if those that you think most would be your support and believe what you said don't, I know you. And it's grown me to be stronger, but in the strength have come some cries, have come some doubt, because as your the premise to your podcast says, I'm a real person, you know, and as much as I love the Lord, I know that there's some amount of uncertainty in all of what we do. It doesn't mean that you're not a good Christian and that you don't lack faith or belief in God, because sometimes it's like, okay, Lord, is this the way that it's supposed to go?
That's true. That's very true. And so let's put a pin right there. I want to get into that. But we have to get into our theme question.
Okay.
When did you come to develop your own relationship with God? What happened? Take us back to that day. Because, you know, a lot of us, we're raised in a church, we go to church, pass down tradition, all that. But then we get to a point where it's like, okay, no, God is real. Like, this is not just
tradition and practice and protocol.
So what was that moment like for you?
I would say that I always, well, not always, but I knew the Lord as a teenager. But like what you just said, the protocol and practice had probably a greater influence than the knowing that was in my heart. One of the things that I remember, and this was even beyond me being baptized, and I had to be 12 or 13 years old, but we grew up in a denomination called Primitive Baptist. And I remember one of my long distance cousins was what they call on the Mona bench or on the seat, in reference to saying that they wanted to get baptized. And that was a week of protocol, you know, that we go through with praying and singing songs, and, you know, eventually at the end of the week that that person get baptized. And I remember one day praying, one of the nights, one of the evenings, praying for her. And I really sincerely felt the Holy Spirit, probably more so during the time that I said that I wanted to be baptized. So that was like one of my first major experiences. I didn't grow up prophetically. So after I left in the apostolic denomination. So after I left my home church, after being a widow, I had that experience. And, you know, they were saying miracle signs and wonders. And, you know, I came from the tradition of, well, all it's already been prophesied what's going to happen at the end of the end of times is the very first time it was water with Noah, and the next time it would be fire. So my way of thinking had to change, and it was just totally different. So I would say, from a teenager, I knew God, and in the transition in the things of life, like becoming a widow, that the spirit of Satan was above me that I didn't know, or because I didn't learn certain traditions and protocols, or frankly, didn't pick up the Bible besides day, or when I was in, you know, or in a stressful situation, I didn't know the Lord well enough to know that when we go through these wilderness seasons, how to stand. But as a child of God, you still cannot get out of his hands. Even if you don't know him to the degree and you're still growing and transitioning in the process, you will have some hurts, you will have some cries, but he won't let you fall.
That's right. So you kind of just knew that there was a God, and your relationship with God just kind of grew as you became older.
It grew as I became older, but like I said, I'm not going to say I reneged on it because I knew what he was saying, but it, you know, I went through some things transitionally, Jordan, where after I lost my husband, first of all, there was great dependence there. And so although I grew up in the church, and although I knew that God was a jealous God, and even though I never called my late husband God, you know, I had to come face to face with some things that maybe I was utilizing that role in marriage as that. You know, there, you know, when you go through things, it was always, you know, baby, what you think. And I'm not saying that prayer was never there.
Right.
But God had to take me through that transition of, you know, him being first. I'll tell you a quick testimony. I remember walking with a sister in Christ one time, you know, for exercise purposes. And Kirk Franklin has this song that I don't want to love nobody but God. And I kept saying, no, like God. And I had been through enough, but I hadn't had the knowledge enough to know that sometimes you can go through some things in life, despite where you're loved or where you're not loved, that there are sometimes in your testimony will be, I don't want nobody but God right now.
Mm. So you became a widow at 37.
Yes, ma'am.
If you don't mind sharing a little bit more about what happened, how long were you married before you were widowed?
I was married for 14 years, but I knew him since I was 13 years old. So I used to say a lot of times, and this is probably not the most Christian thing to say, but I used to say a lot of times he was more to me than just a husband, because I knew him for so long. So it was not just the loss of, you know, which is supposed to be one of the greatest partnerships next to the Lord, but it was also the loss of a great friend. As a person who is naturally introverted, it was a great loss for me. A lot of my identity was tied in to being his wife. So so that probably took me much longer to heal than I don't say the average person. I think that sometimes people act ill.
So what makes you say a lot of your identity was tied through him, through your marriage? Was this something you realized after gone?
As I grew more in the Lord, that in this day and age, no person should ever feel, and this may be part of the grieving process as well, but nobody should ever feel like, okay, who am I or where do I go now that he's not here? Now, there's a moral part of that, that in grieving, that it's normal in some way to be expected. Again, like I said before, I've always been a working professional. We have one daughter together. So I know I was a mother, but there were times that I would be like, you know what, I still have to do this, you know, even if your dad is not here. My daughter would be looking like, okay, you tripping, you always been a good mama, you know. So I had gone through some mental transitional things like, can I do this? And I think a lot of it, and this is not to blame anybody, this is just the story of how I transitioned, was growing up religiously, in some institutions, you are taught, whether it's verbalized or not, to look okay. And I think I was battling with that, but sincerely not being okay.
Yeah.
You know, and so then going through that, then going to church and then another church and that not working out, I was going through continuous death, so to speak. But what the Lord, I believe that the Lord was doing was transitioning me for strength, but also transitioning for me to realize you have to get to that point. I don't want nobody but you. Now, I wanted to talk about context. I want to put that in the right context. Yes, love your family. The scripture even tells you that he's a jealous God and that he has to be first beyond parents, beyond children, beyond mates. And, you know, that doesn't literally mean, you know, go crucify your family. However, there's a greater perspective in that I was missing, and I didn't get it until I became a widow.
That's interesting. It makes me think of going back to the beginning in Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
When they ate from the fruit,
mm-hmm.
the forbidden tree, and he curses them, and to Eve, to the woman, he says, your desire will be for your husband.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like that's something that most women in general battle with, because and the Bible also says that the man is the head. He is the head of the household.
Totally. So,
you know, I feel like there is a part of you that submits to that. You're submitting your husband to his mission and to his thoughts, to his ways. I feel like that is a part of being a wife.
Yeah, and I thank you for saying that, because it provides me with the grace that I need. But I think one of the things that the Lord wanted me to talk about, even just meeting with you today, Jordan, is context with that, though. Our relationship with the Lord is personal, though, because as much as I submit to him, and as much as and not even just in general, not even just with me and my late husband, but as married couples, totally, as much as we submit to each other, we're not going to get along 100% all day, every day. Your relationship with God is personal, because there's going to be some times like, Lord, he's getting on my nerve. You know,
right,
you talk to him, you know. So it's not that you lack the submission in that, but the Lord is not telling you to be a robot.
No. And I feel like
you know, the even when we talk about the losing ourselves, it's a transformation in that, but who you are is who God always meant for you to be, or whatever. What happens with us, we transition in life on based on what other people have told us versus what God said. And that kind of makes up our personality. And then we have to go back to the basics and like, well, no, I did this because this is how I traditionally grew up, but that may not necessarily be me. I may not even like that, you know?
Yeah. And did you feel like you knew who you were before you got married?
Considering this day and age and the I don't want to say genre, but how it is with women and the independency that we are, particularly for whatever reasons, with African-American women, no. No. I don't think that I was on an island by myself with that. I think that a lot of people get married sometimes young and don't have, well, none of us younger all have it all figured out. But even with the marriage thing, I believe that there's very few people who, and we did go through counseling, but you're going to go through some circumstances in life that's just going to dock you, that nothing can prepare you for it in life but just preparation itself, which means it's just the life experience itself.
Yeah. What was your grieving process and healing process like?
I would say tumultuous. going back to your previous question, because I didn't know myself. I know that I'm an introvert. I know that I didn't even necessarily even like social media. You know, but I was trying to figure out who I needed to be and what was the trend and what I needed to be, even at 37 years old, you know, so even, you know, just taking, you know, nothing old, like overly inappropriate or nothing like that, but just taking pictures and doing little things. And I don't think nothing was wrong with that process. I think, though, that God is a God of heart posture or whatever. So what it really comes down to is why. And basically just trying to learn who I was. And sometimes.
So you lost your spouse and really went through a self-discovery journey.
I would say so, because when you follow protocol, you talk to your pastor at your home church and say, you know, I think it's time. And, you know, they give you the best and to, you know, say they understand why. And then you go to another church and you lose that membership in a really horrific way. And then you've already gone through death. You're trying to figure out how to be a single woman and just survive in life. And like I said before, not really knowing me. There were certain things I know. I mean, I have a, you know, like I said, I've worked 20 years. I have a master's degree. So it's really the things that you tell yourself. Mm-hmm. It really is what it comes down to. Yes, it was part of the grieving process, but I think it was more tumultuous for me because I was going to church and the Lord had to teach me to go to God.
Yeah, that's good. And so, you know, the Bible says two becomes one. Mm-hmm. So how do you not lose your individuality in a marriage?
How do you not lose your individuality in a marriage? In this day and age, honestly, from the few dates and relationships that I have had after the facts, most men almost prefer that you have something outside of them. You know, so what used to be traditional 30, 40 years ago, you know, now, at least in the experience that I have seen, men, particularly men, have a liking for a woman that has something outside of, I just want a man. How do you keep your independency? I think from the beginning, now that I'm on this side as a single woman, right. I mean, there's conversations and communication that needs to be had on, first of all, are you even trying to get married? Because that's something that I've had to go through as a single woman, because a lot of people are not, and even considered themselves Christian and want to have a relationship and what comes with a relationship, but not want to do it God way. So that's an experience in itself. But
yeah, so we'll talk about, you're in a marriage, you've been married, you know.
So the first step of not losing yourself is being true to God, because some people get in a marriage with that concept that I just described to you, knowing that, okay, that ain't what God say or whatever, you know, but this is what you want to do. But while you're in a marriage, you know, that wasn't my experience, Jordan, but I have definitely prayed, you know, the next go around, if that be God's will for my life to be married again, that some level of respect in that way is, you know, go to the movies with a girlfriend, go to the movies by yourself, you know, go, you know, have a girlfriend.
And still date yourself in your marriage.
Yes. But I want to bring it back to the reality of that, because there's some people that are probably listening to this that have been married for years, and it's like, girl, please, I want to put this in context. You know, when you're in your 20s and there's a baby on your hip and you guys are trying to make ends meet and bills have got to be paid or whatever, the last thing that you're thinking about is you. Now, I'm not saying that's the right way to be thinking, but when you become a wife, your way and your heart is not isolated on, am I going to date me today? You know?
Right. Well, you know, it has to be improper. You know, this is assuming that your house is in order.
Yeah. Whatever in order means, because when you have children, that, you know, right. Yeah.
But you still have to take time for yourself. And
totally.
You know, I was always told growing up, if you have to be able to pour into you so you can pour into others.
Into somebody else. Yeah.
People from an empty cup. So
yeah,
there is some self-prioritizing that you have to do even as a single and even in your marriage, because you have to be able to have something to give, and you want to be able to give.
Absolutely.
From
totally. I don't think, just going back to saying that relationship with God is first, like I was saying to you before, he's not asking us to be robots. So even whenever you have your moments with the Lord, that's part of your self-care. Even if you can't afford all of the expensive stuff of going on a trip with your girlfriend, maybe you can get some essential oils and, you know, sniff on it in the shower and relax in that way. Maybe you can take a few minutes to meditate when you pull up and before you get in the house. So there are different methods that you can do that may not be affordable or that everybody has. So there's right. different things. Maybe it's just a walk. I have to, without compromise, at least 2 or 3 days a week, get my 30-minute walk by myself. But, you know, sometimes, again, if I have an infant, that 30-minute walk may mean I'm pushing this infant in a stroller. So I just have to bring up the realities of things in life like that, because a lot of times when you're single, you can think in single mind, you can do all of these different things, but when you become married, it is not about you. Anything else is secondary, but yes, you cannot pour from an empty cup. I absolutely agree with you, but it will be different. It will be different when it comes to marriage. And it's a great part of you. Like you said before, as a woman, you want to be submissive to those things. But I have, Jordan, in context, ask the Lord the second go around, knowing me. You know, sometimes I may not always want to go to the family gathering, and that is okay.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
It is okay.
And so you went along this self-discovery journey. What did you discover about yourself? What did you learn about yourself?
I thought that I was strong before. I learned that I'm even stronger, but I think that the most stronger people, the most strongest people in life, especially as a Christian, is realizing that you can't do it by yourself. That is where your greatest strength comes. Because a lot of times as an African-American woman, we're independent, we got our jobs and we, you know, this in the bank account and we're doing this and we're educated and all of that or whatever. But there are times in life, whatever your circumstances may be, that you can hit rock bottom. And if you're just depending on self, it's harder to climb back out of that and not having the Holy Spirit. So I think the biggest thing for me is because I've always been a hard worker. I was always the oldest child that was expected to do right. So that was the role that was always put upon me. And I went through some mental issues because of that, or emotional issues because of that as well, too. So I had to learn that, and still learning. When you say leave it with him, when you say let it go, God's got it, you know. All of those things are new to me. And I would say that are redo to me. And I'm gonna tell you why, Jordan, because I had in my mind, oh my, the Lord is not gonna take my husband. I literally used to say, oh, you know, I can't deal with it. He's not gonna take that. He's not gonna take him. And I was like, oh, say what now? He did, he's gone. So the Lord even had to help me with the humility of first even changing my tongue about who God is in my life or whatever, and what the Lord will do and what the Lord won't do. Now, I don't think the Lord took my husband to teach me a lesson. So I want to put that in context, but I think the Lord took my husband because it was my husband's time. But when we go through tragedies, grief, tumultuous times in life, you learn lessons from that. And one of those lessons was that again, like I said, he's a jealous God, and he had to give me that. That was one of my first lessons besides the story of, in conjunction with the story of Jacob.
The story of Jacob.
Let me explain it in context, because everybody in the Christian world says Jacob is the trickster. But what God had given me, and it's in Genesis chapter 25 a couple of years ago, Jacob was grasping the heel of Esau, who was his twin brother, and because of that he was given the name trickster. But what it really comes down to is, what name did others put on you? This is a baby. He's a trickster because he grabbed the heel. Why couldn't he just been, you know, want to be with his brother, you know? But he was called a trickster, and that carried out through his life and his lack of esteem in himself, and made him make decisions that were not Israel.
I see.
You know, so one of my things one of the revelations that the Lord had to give me, that even though there are some things that qualities that I have, I guess, as humble as you want to say it, Jordan, look good on paper, that again, it's the heart posture, it's the internal. What do you think about you? Not what does man say, not, oh, ooh, you got this degree or you work here. What do you think about you? What does God say about you? Because that's really, at the end of the day, that's really what matters. But as you start to believe who God calls you to, Psalm 139, he knows you in your parent's womb. And, you know, the 14, we were fearfully and wonderfully made. A lot of people focus on the 14th, but I focus on the 13th because God always knew who you were supposed to be. You didn't know. So when he calls you, you look at like, say, what? Can I hang up the telephone? I think you got the wrong Christy Bell. Like, I don't think so. You know, but God always called you into who you were supposed to be. So a lot of people have all of these strongholds on their life about the things that they have done. But, okay, that was your transition in life and God building you. But really, a lot of that stuff is not even really you.
And so, how has this changed your career path? If it has.
Be careful, Christy. There's a scripture in Proverbs, and I don't know what it is, Jordan, but it talks about being vocal, or being too vocal can call perony, and perony is like poverty, basically. A lack of money.
Too vocal can cause poverty.
Yeah. And it's in Proverbs, it's in the Bible. Okay. I have always been a person, even when I was married, and both of us had this same mantra, even though I was taught, you know, you do it as if you do it as you're doing it unto God. Well, we were always hard workers, so that was fine. But we were always the persons that we worked to live, not live to work. And so even my definition of work changed, because anything that we do, your appearance, you losing weight, your eating habits, your marriage, your work, all of it is for the glory of God. We live carnally and we live every day 8 to 5 or whatever. So we normally think in our process. So I would think for me that sometimes it's harder, because when you are, it is hard. It was hard the first part of my career because I didn't know who I was in the Lord. It's right. Harder the second part in my career because finding persons who are genuinely children of God, unfortunately, and are not about the dollar amount and who they would step over and tell this and do that to get where they're trying to go. I am sincerely a minority. So in that case, I definitely have to depend greatly on the Lord. And so it's affected me a lot. It's affected me a lot. But the other part of it is there's benefits. There's things like I was just telling you before. I just come out of, you know, having a procedure and going through some physical things or whatever. You know, insurances pay for that. So there's a perspective on all of it, because I know that, you know, the God doesn't call everybody to entrepreneurship. He may put you in the world and tell you, you have to be, you're the one, you have to be the light in it. And you may not be there for pay. You may not be there for money. And, you know, sometimes those type of pills are hard to swallow. And I talked to the Lord about it with losing an income, with losing my late husband, and, you know, things being stable. You know, I know my situation is probably a whole lot. There's a lot of hurting people in the world, a whole lot better than a lot of people. But there are some things, you know, based on time period and, you know, education that, yeah, sometimes it kind of like, wow, this is just way on it. But, you know, when you're not where you need to be, or you think that there's a starting over or where you need to be in life, you know, that's the perfect picture of where God wants you to be. So he's always constructing me, Jordan. He's always reforming me and transforming me. All of us, really.
Right. Well, yeah, those who allow it, yeah.
Listen, I and in that way, I've had my limps like Jacob too, because I've had my like my pitter patter, like, Lord, I gotta go this way. Like, really? I gotta do it this way. You know, yeah. So he has a way of humbling you to get you to allow it to where you on your knees, like, I surrender in tears, like, okay, whatever way you go. And you know, as the adage says, it's not that we don't use our sight in contest, but we walk by faith and not by sight. And so you have to, regardless of what you may be seeing around you daily, have to know, okay, but who did he tell you that you are?
And that brings me to the point where you were talking about previously is you have to know your worth. You have to know your worth as a single, and you have to know your worth even as you're married. You have to know
people,
because that's what's going to keep you grounded. That's what's going to keep you on track with moving forward to continuing to becoming who God is calling you to do. And if you are in a healthy relationship, that person is going to be able to enhance and advance you to who you're becoming, and vice versa.
Totally.
But if you don't know who you are,
mm-hmm.
you don't know your worth.
Mm-hmm.
Enter into a relationship. You know, some people are graced with the experience of growing together. You know,
right.
very young, and you grow together, and
mm-hmm.
that's wonderful. You know, that's a blessing. But then there are instances where you get into situations and being, you know, in relationships that are not helping to advance who you are and becoming who you are can delay your blessing.
Yeah.
And so knowing your worth is important in general, no matter where you're at in life. You know, knowing your identity. And then you also mentioned about, you know, I asked you about, has that changed your career path or the, you know, the things that you're in? Because now, you know who you are, you're interested
right.
in change. The things
right.
that you may have changed, what you want to do on a day-to-day may have changed.
I think as children of God that are progressive, there's always something in the oven, and I'm working towards that. But my, you know, for maintenance and daily, you know, to make sure because it is just, you know, it's me and the Lord, that my bills are paid, that my career remains the same currently. But yes, there are some things in the oven. He's working with his child.
That's right. And so what would you tell someone who has, you know, been widowed early, who's lost a spouse and is in their grieving process?
I would say, you know, probably for somebody that's been widowed early, you know, that logically your life is not over because the opportunities are starting over again are more viable. But I talked to a widow the other night who is in her late 60s, and I lost my late husband 6 years ago, but she lost her husband 3 years ago. And so I was advising her, Jordan, and so it to be honest with you, the longer that it is, sometimes the worse it is, because the more you're used to that other person. But if God woke you up, whether you widowed, married, whatever, you know, he still has something for you to do. And your identity is more tied into just another person, but respectfully, give yourself time to breathe. When I was going through that process, persons were so spiritual with me that I felt that they were no earthly good to me. So give yourself time to process. Give yourself time to grieve. Those things are human. And guess what? If you went to church all your life, go get a therapist. It's okay. Unless your pastor can talk to you and meet with you on a consistent basis to talk you through those things. I'm not opposed to that if you have that option. But go get a therapist. Go get some coaching. I had to go through all of those things. And I'll be honest with you, without, I would not have known my calling. So sometimes your calling, that's not this particular calling in this season of my life. Sometimes it doesn't come from the four walls. And the four walls are important because the Lord tells us you have to assemble. And of course, these days, just like now with me and Jordan, we're assembling, you know, so you can look at that in different ways and take that in whatever, you know, context it is. The most important is what did God put on your heart and tell you where you should go and how you should be and what you should be doing. But life is not over. And it's okay to learn how to date yourself and your children. If you are a widow that has, or a widower that has children, a lot of times they want you to move on. They advocate for that. But it's the perfect time, and I'm a person, I want you to know I'm a real person that has cried and fought through this. But it's an awesome time for you to know yourself. You know, you have to love and be happy with you, you know, and it, you know, it can be physical, but it's all about this too, and all of that, all of those different things, getting to know you, because as you get older, the things that you did in your 20s, you may not want to deal with no more. You might not want to go through that process. So it's a wonderful time to grow and get to know who you are in the Lord, and be okay with if it's not the Lord's will for you to get married again. Woo! He working on me right now. That's just like in my chest. Be okay with that. Like
if you desire it, he will, because that's one of the things that he, because you know, the you know, God doesn't like divorce. He talks about adultery and things.
Oh, yeah.
One of the things that he does say is okay if you become a widow.
Then right. You can't get married again. Yes, it's allowed.
So I feel like if you have that desire, mm-hmm. It's going to come, because the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will.
Lord, and he will be the desire of your heart. Yes, ma'am.
You know, when you're in alignment, your desires are in alignment with the will of God for your life. So you're not just desiring things.
Totally.
Either. You know, God's not going to tease us. Like if you are desiring that, that thing is going to come. Now, when is
I agree.
I don't know.
I agree. And I don't think you have to be perfect, Jordan, but I do think you have to also be ready for it. I think God is not going, I mean,
well, get ready for it.
Let me put it like this. When you desire, God hears you and the devil hears you too. And so you have to know.
Desire it, but don't be perfect. When you start getting desperate for it,
and making it an idol,
the enemy will come in, and then you have counterfeits and all that. But you know,
And I would just say also be honest with the Lord. You know, if you don't like being single, that's okay. I don't think that you have to 100% be like I'm good and it's just me and mine and I'm all right. I don't think you have to be to that degree, but I do think you have to embrace where he had you in this season in order for you to get ready for the next season. He wants you to be grateful that you just have another breath, period, because that's just a gift in itself, you know. So you start to grow and gain perspective more in life of it was a gift to be married, but it's also a gift to be single as well. And as a person who's like, next month, it will be 6 years for me. I am just getting to the point of walking into that and enjoying the singleness so much so that it's like, not right now, for relationship. I'm still baking in the oven.
Yeah, and you start to come to enjoy yourself. Enjoy your time. Enjoy who you're becoming. Enjoy doing things.
Just like I was going to the point that you were saying before, it doesn't have to that part doesn't have to change. It's just, it would just not just be just about you when marriage does occur.
Yes. Thank you so much for sharing, Christy. You know, I'm sure that your testimony is going to encourage and bless someone, especially someone specifically going through that grieving process of losing a spouse. And so if people want to know more information about you, where can they find you?
I do do some teachings every now and then. I like to keep them private because I have gone, like to some of your previous guests have said, I've gone through some gang stalking, you know, for some incidents where I've spoken up, you know, and so I have learned and matured in reference into that as far as the safety of myself and my child. But my email is Mrs. Christy B, that's MrsChristyB at gmail.com. I would love to share some of those teachings with you. If you contact me, that would be great. And can I say one more thing before I leave, Jordan? I'm sorry. We're in the process of this world is whatever it is right now. And I'm so thankful again, Jordan, for your time and giving me this opportunity to speak on your platform that God has given you. I just also wanted to say, you know, if there's somebody that is out there, I know that there's a lot of Christians that we're trying to put one foot in front of the other and walk on this narrow path. But if there is somebody out there, you know, that doesn't know the Lord, sometimes we have to get back to the basics. And the basics is, there was a man named, you know, Jesus that was born, and, you know, we celebrate him during Christmas, and the Father sent him in the physical form, you know, but because he knew we weren't going to act right, he died on the cross for our sins. And so if there's somebody out there that doesn't know him, regardless of all the greatness that we bring to this world as Christians, the bottom line is to glorify him. Know that he is true. He does exist. He is real. He will meet you where you are. That doesn't mean just because you know the Lord that you won't go through some things. It just means that there's somebody that there's with you to bring you out of them. And it's sometimes you may feel that it's not, but he's there. And the only thing that you have to do is open your heart to even just saying, listen, I think you may exist. Just asking for a sign. And I'm sure as you start on your journey, that will grow and increase from who you need to be around and the people you need to be around, because he left his Holy Spirit with us. That's the greatest inheritance that we have, because even if you're going through things in life, he's going to tell you when to go left. He's going to tell you when to go right. So you don't have to do everything in your own might. You have him to guide you and tell you what you need to do. And I leave that to the widows, because a lot of times we do become, and widowers, dependent on the wife and dependent on the husband. Embrace the relationship with the Lord, because you will start to hear. He will start to give you inklings. He will start to tell you to do different things. Doesn't mean you're not going to hurt. Don't mean that you're not going to go through things. But it does mean that you have somebody there with you. So when somebody else does come, they already know, listen, God is the lover of my soul. He is the head of my life. That's what you're going to bring to the picture.
That's right. Confess with your mouth, believe with your heart that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of your life. Okay. And so thank you, Christy, for joining us again, family. If you would like to watch the full video version, join the Journey Academy, jordansjourneycoaching.com, or in the app, Jordan's Journey app. You can find the full video version there, along with other resources. That's all we have for now. God loves you so much, and so do I.
Until next. Thank you, Jordan.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you were blessed and encouraged by this episode. For additional resources to help you grow in life and in faith along your journey, visit jordansjourneycoaching.com. Until next time, God loves you so much, and so do I. Bye.